With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
He was calling
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Instead of them, him.
He got something that frightened even the self-proclaimed mountain man.
It's Mike Shope.
This thing was 10 foot tall. He had beautiful hair.
The Bulldog.
And I said, get away from here. Get. Get. And he went right back out that path again.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
He looked like he had 6 fingers on each hand.
Still no idea whether they found this creature this man was talking about however long ago. Mike Shope and the Bulldog here. Thanks for listening. We have Brody with us. Hello, Brody.
Hi, thanks for having me on this evening.
You're probably not young enough to have been named for the Homeland character.
No, I was before. I think I was just on the edge of Jaws, though, with Professor Brody.
Oh, all right.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, just spelled differently.
But Sheriff Brody, and, Professor Hooper.
Sheriff Brody.
Sheriff Brody. Yeah.
Just wanted to weigh in on the people talking about, quote-unquote, losing the O'Reilly trade. It's entirely too early to tell. I mean, you can say we lost on Sabocha and Berglund leaving them, us maybe even possibly buying out Sabocha's contract. But you still got Tage Thompson, and, yeah, he didn't have a good year. But there was no way he should have been up playing in the NHL. And then we got to wait on, like, maybe possibly 3 to 4 years for the draft picks that we had to pan out. So entirely too early to tell on the O'Reilly trade.
Can't you say this, though, Brody? St. Louis has already won it. From St. Louis's side, nothing that would conceivably happen in the future would change the fact that O'Reilly was their best player on their first ever cup winner. Like, it depends what side you're on, whether you want to score a trade. But I think what has happened already is enough for St. Louis to already get the check.
For the time being, yeah, you can absolutely
forever.
St. Louis won the
forever. If Tage Thompson goes to the Hall of Fame, still.
Oh, no, I'm thinking to be more reasonable. I'm just saying that in short term, yeah, St. Louis won the trade. I mean, they won the cup. That's the ultimate end goal for any NHL season. But long term, panning out, it's the development of Tage Thompson if he can come into his own. And then
okay.
Draft picks that we had as well.
Yeah. I know what you're saying. I'm saying it doesn't matter to St. Louis, no matter what happens in the future.
They would make the trade 100 times out of 100 again.
Right.
Would every Sabre fan, or would even Jason Bottrell make the trade 100 times out of 100 right now? I mean, that's tough. I think you'd like to do better, at least initially. Ryan Johnson might be a really nice and important player, and Tage Thompson too, and maybe they'll help the Sabres win Stanley Cups down the road, or at least just one. I shouldn't talk in plurals, but for right now, the Blues would make the trade 100 out of 100, and I don't know how many Sabres fans would sign up for that right now. Probably very few.
And then in terms of risk aligning, it's so hard to tell if we should keep him or trade him now, because brought in Ralph Kruger, and they're saying you can get the best out of any player. And I feel like when we brought in Housley, that would have brought out the best in Ristolainen right then and there with his...
Maybe it did.
With his... maybe he did. But even in the... I don't believe he should be our first-line defenseman playing that many minutes tonight. We're just down to, you know, maybe like that second-line role, 18 to 20, and not put so much on his plate. But if now is not the time to trade him, I don't know when it would be, because we already had Subban go to Subban leave, Tripp leave, talk about Myers getting signed somewhere else. And then, what was it today? I think Colorado traded for the Connaughton from Arizona, and they might be shipping out Barry. So the time to trade him would be now, but then you got people saying, like, maybe Kruger can get the best out of him. So I feel like it's either a now or never type deal, whether to trade him or not.
Thanks, Brody. Every trade for me is, what can you get? So this would be no different. This one is more like intense for me, and it's just been years of this with this guy. And, you know, I guess we're still waiting to see if he can actually be good. He's still on the team. We know that. But every trade is, what can you get? So I agree with you that now is the time just because this is when trades happen, and it's almost no other time of year except like deadline day.
Right.
Right. And then right now.
And if the market is hot for this type of player, if not this specific player, then that also contributes to let's do it. The state of your team contributes to it. There's a lot of things that go into it. I don't think they're just going to trade him to get him off their team. I doubt that they would handle it that way. But I think they need to find a way to improve. So I don't know how else to do it. They don't have another chip that I think can get them. I don't know it. I guess I'll believe it when I see it. We've got all kinds of maybe contrary evidence, like Jacob Trouba and PK Subban. Trouba's a little tricky because there's probably a manipulation of the where's he willing to play thing. And so Winnipeg was really up against it.
Right. He wanted to play in the States because of his wife or girlfriend
right.
in med school.
Right.
Right? Was that it?
Exactly. So they had to do something or lose him for nothing. He was under contract for another year, but they wanted to just do the best they could, and they didn't really do well at all, in my view anyway.
It would
seem.
I
think most views. Subban, same thing. I mean, Jersey stole him, but that's a big, big salary for a 30-year-old guy who, I don't know, could be going the wrong way, but yeah, I don't know it. I would have taken a flyer on it myself. But you're seeing trades and like the value of the cap space. What is a team trying to accomplish by making the trade? You just don't know. It's hard to really draw on what's happened already and say I should be able to get X and X for this player because different things are motivating teams. They're clearing space for free agents, or they really value the player and they really want him. You know, on their team, they think he's an upgrade or what? Like, you know. Where do I draw on currently? I don't know. It's all over the place as far as return goes. But you got to get in there and figure it out. And he meets most of the criteria to me of someone who should have some value in the league still.
You know, if they – like I say all the time, I just have every reason to think the Sabres see him as really good. The way they have used him, the way they've talked about him, you know, like just the evidence is – to the Sabres, Ristolainen's a really good player. So if that's true, but they still think it's in their best interest to trade him for whatever reasons, that could still undermine their efforts because they will go to teams and want too much. If they think, you know, you have these guys in fantasy, they just think that guy is way better than everybody else thinks. So he might be, and I think he should be, movable, but it would require the Sabres to, like, you know, swallow hard and appreciate what the rest of the league thinks of him in general. Here's what I mean by the elephant in the room. So we are talking about Ristolainen again. And as you've heard in the last 45 minutes on this show from callers, and yesterday when a caller said, I think Ristolainen will go down as one of the best defensemen ever to play the game. There is a real... misunderstanding, in my opinion. I'll try to put it a different way. There's definitely a difference of opinion, a stark difference of opinion, as there has been for years about this player. And I will admit to you that I talk about him and have talked about him in a way that, like, I am confident that I am right about Ristolainen. And I say that because the data is my guide, and nothing else. I don't care about how tall he is. I don't care about anything else because whatever the package that he is comes out in the numbers. They're not perfect, but they're useful, and they should be respected. If not, be your guide. So, like, that is my position on Ristolainen, and really, I mean, almost maybe every player in the NHL. Like, that is where I'm going, and that is what it's about. So when I talk about Ristolainen, be like, this shouldn't be hard. You've heard me say this very thing over and over lately. It shouldn't be hard. A lot of teams, perhaps including the Sabres, don't do it that way. And that's why PK Subban is given away. And that's why Tyler Myers is going to get rich. Because Myers is a player who the numbers would tell you to stay away from. But Not maybe not as badly as they would about Ristolainen, but still, they would tell you that. And yet, he's going to make $50 million maybe this week. Like, what the hell is that? The bottom line on that is, if you look at it the way I look at it, and a lot of other people look at it, but maybe not most fans, it really shouldn't be too hard. And that brings this question up. What? Do you think you could do that job?
Yeah, why do you, yeah. I mean, the question is, like, what makes you so smart? What makes you think you know more than Jason Bottrell or all the GMs in the league?
Right.
Yeah, that's the question.
That is the question. And the reason I would have any inkling to think that is what I've just explained. That these teams, and the Sabres are perfectly fine as an example of a team that, by the moves they've made, don't respect what those statistics tell you. This coach and how he used his players, Housley, I mean, was quintessentially an example of that. So what are you supposed to think the Sabres care about if they operate this way, right? So, oh, well. And I see this question, you know, in all kinds of different ways, some mm-hmm. nicer than others, put to analytics guys like Travis all the time. Do you think you could do it? And I think it's right to be at least somewhat diplomatic about that, because there's no doubt there's a lot about the job that I don't even know of. But I do think fundamentally Botterill and Murray and perhaps all their predecessors, I don't know, this is a relatively new area to me and I think to the sport, make egregious errors because they put their hockey players. Their experience is playing hockey and what they have learned from being in hockey. And if they don't put that at least somewhat aside, they're going to continue to make the same mistakes in a world that has shifted and people who didn't play hockey, usually, are walking in with like a new language. So what do you think should happen? What happens is bad teams that don't figure this out, this is just like my opinion, make these same mistakes and lose. And I think that's where we're at with the Sabres. They are stuck with huge contracts of players that should not be on their team. Why are they on their team? Because they thought to varying degrees that they had value. And I think they were wrong. So what are you going to do about it?
Well, one question that comes to mind, I have a follow-up question. Are you taking other questions?
Sure.
How much evidence is there that teams that are successful and that are winning are using aggressively or at all any of this data? Like, are they beholden to it? Are the St. Louis Blues beholden to it? I heard the Bruins coach allude to it some during the playoffs, and that might be encouraging. It might be patronizing, for all I know, how they're really – I don't know how teams are doing it.
Well, there's certainly a lot I don't know about that. The coach of the Bruins impressed me because like, he was asked questions that every coach gets asked after games. How do you think this player did tonight? And sometimes he would say, I'll just see what the numbers tell me. And that's perfectly right to me. And that's cool mm-hmm. when a coach who's like a hockey guy ends up sounding like that. Really, how much does anybody know? What you know is their transactions. You know from trades.
Right,
you know
right.
from signings.
And I think you might, I mean, you do you. You draw a lot of conclusions from that. But that I'm not positive at all that these general managers don't spend time with that. It would be foolhardy if they didn't. How much they react to it, are beholden to it, you know, I think the proof is probably in the results or in the moves that they make. I find it incomprehensible that they wouldn't be aware of it and pay attention to it. I'm still waiting for like further development of data, like the player tracking and all this stuff, because I think there's a lot of smart people in the league that are former players like Jason Bottrell, who's got an MBA in business and is highly qualified for the job. And if he wasn't availing himself of information, it would surprise me. Is there some flaw in it that you don't know or that Travis doesn't know that the hockey people know and don't want to tell you about because they're trying to protect themselves, their knowledge?
Well, it's not a question of smart, though. I mean, it's not a question of whether Botterill is smart enough. I say the same thing all the time. It's a question of, look, I think it's psychological. I am a person of importance. I'm not speaking of myself, but like a GM. Why am I in this job? Why is Sean McDermott the coach of the Bills? Why is Botterill the GM of the Sabres? Because their credibility within their sport allowed them to ascend to that place. And that's all evidently fully possible without any respect for what I'm talking about. Like, you can get to be at that place. Most NHL GMs have gotten there that way. So it's not like, am I smart enough? You have to just sort of realign your thinking and let in this kind of information from outside. Sports does not like to do that. Don't we know it? Don't we know how difficult sports is when it comes to people who are not from sports? They don't want anything to do with you. You never played. So Botterill, I think, might be as smart as anybody in there, but he has to know. In my opinion, he has to know what the results are really telling him. And I don't have any reason to think that the Sabres are good in this area. There's just been no proof of it. So what do teams really know, or what is the future for all this? These kind of questions that can be asked, but really what we have in the Sabres is just tons of mistakes that have been made. And you're sitting here going through the years with Eichel and Dahlin and Reinhart getting nowhere. Well, to me, this is as good an explanation for why as any. And so, I mean, look, it's not even like a real question because nobody, well, I mean, certainly me, I am way not qualified to do it. And the biggest thing that would come up if I did is like, why are you there? Who are you? You have no credibility. I couldn't get other GMs to talk to me. I wouldn't get players to sign with me. Like, I would just be a joke because I'm not from hockey. But what happened in baseball?
Eventually, they took over.
It took over. And it wouldn't be me, but it could be Travis. Yeah. Like, well, Travis really knows it. What I just know is to read him and other people like him. Sure. I don't unearth anything.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing about it, and I can remember one of the first conversations we ever had about this, is the difference in the reliability of the data on individual baseball players and the singularity of the tasks that they are performing versus what is a free-flowing, moving sport where five teammates are on the ice interacting at the same time, and they are not at the plate. They are not just patrolling right field, right? It's harder. So, like, I don't know. My eyes are open to it. It's a part of the reason I would encourage them to trade Ristolainen, not just because I think I can get value from him, but I'm respecting the data, but it is still, to me, I wouldn't want to just be beholden to it because I think it's based on shots generated. That's it. And I don't think that's enough to just build the entire, there needs to be more.
Well, there is more. And I'm not the expert to explain all that. There is more, though. Expected goals aren't just shot attempts. It's location. It's shot quality. It's the history. It's being able, just like baseball does with the shift. The shift isn't either one-on-one. It's a team concept. It's like that is just mountains of information to tell you what has happened in this sport before. And like everything should come from that. And how much exactly does, I don't know. But I do know, or at least I think, that Ristolainen is the biggest no-brainer ever and has been. And it's really not even, like, for me about, it can be, I'd like to get there, digging all the way into it, as it just is, can you just show me that you get the obvious one right? Can you just one of these years get the obvious one right? And without that, as I've told you, as we've had this conversation lots of times, without that, I just have a really difficult time believing in them, you know, because this one is just, like, plain. And it's in a league where I think a lot of people probably like him. So to me, it's like trading him is going from black and white TV to color TV, you know? And there's all kinds of details and there's a lot of luck in the sport, right? So like the Bruins built their team in a way that doesn't seem to impress relatively analytics, but they got to the finals. They hosted game 7 of the finals,
right,
you know?
Right.
And, you know, Carolina had years where they did, and then they didn't win, and then this year they did better. I mean, there's still, it's still a sport where it's you know, you have to get lucky too.
Yeah. I don't know if, you know, how the Sabres view Ristolainen. Like teams, I'm thinking of conversations even with Darcy Regier over the years about guys he had on his team that he might like to improve upon, but can I do that? Like, can I trade Derek Roy and get better? Like, maybe not. May I have to just try to make the best of it? You said you believe the way the Sabres handle Ristolainen that they think he's good. I'm not sure if they think he's good. I think they probably look at him and think there's a lot of talent there. And why can't we make that work? Why isn't he helping us more?
Do you think they think or have thought that he's the problem? Like, I just, what is there that's happened that would tell you that they think that, right?
Right.
You can wonder. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, right.
Sure.
Yeah.
But they just have never done anything that really suggests that. What would that be? He's still on the team. Yeah. He still plays all the time. That's it.
That would be year after year, and eventually you got to stop doing this. And I think maybe now is the time to stop doing it. But year after year, at 22, he's getting his head caved in. Okay, he's young. 23, well, he's still pretty young. He's still 6'4", and he moves really well, and he's got a shot. Like, whatever his attributes are, his skill set, eventually that is going to work. I'm going to cash. It's going to win. And you get another 200 games into his career, and you're still not there. Like, I'm okay moving on, but I get why it's hard. There's a lot of talent there.
Wasn't that Myers, too?
To an extent, yeah. Myers, to me, I like Ristolainen currently a lot more than I think I ever liked Myers. Myers, I liked watching him skate because it was, I don't want to make it sound like he was a freak show, but it was like a real curiosity to have a guy that big on your team. But once it became apparent he didn't have, like, the mean streak to be the all-around player that I wanted someone at that size to be, I kind of lost interest. Ristolainen still has that. Like, I don't know if he shows up on lists of guys who are a pain in the ass to play against, but I watch him play, and I think, like, there's probably guys you'd rather have on the ice.
Sure.
Like,
he's a pain in the ass until the puck's in your net. Until you score on him, and then, you know, I guess maybe it was worth it. I don't know, right? But the physical thing is what you're saying.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Ryan Lambert's not ripping the Myers contract that he might get because he isn't physical enough, though.
No, that's right.
It's just because his team gets beat when he plays. And that's the thing about Ristolainen, no matter how tough he is, they get beat when he plays. 803-0550, back with the update. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
Getting a tour of the dressing room and everything, and being in the city and just walking around and people recognizing me, it's pretty cool, and it's definitely setting in that, you know, I'm starting to live my NHL dream.
Dylan Cousins around town today. Sabres first round pick Friday night.
Yep. Development camp Wednesday, Thursday, Friday this week. That's at Harbor Center. I don't have the schedule sitting here in front of me, but
I do.
I went and checked that out last year, and it was Dahlin was obviously a draw and a curiosity last year to get there and check that out. But there's still, you know, guys can catch your eyes in different ways, you know. So I'd say, you know, the kids are off. Go check it out.
Tomorrow starting at 1, Thursday starting at 10:15 in the morning, same time Friday, then a tournament with all the players Saturday starting at 10:45, all at Harbor Center, free and open to the public, the Sabres say. First come, first serve, so your seat is not guaranteed to you. Depends how many people are there.
All right.
Is it packed, usually?
With Dahlin there last year, it never was packed. I went twice. I mean, it was, you know, it was a crowd, but there wasn't the door didn't get bolted or anything. Like, they were still letting people in.
All right.
The 3-on-3 tournament is usually very packed, but I believe that's only available to season ticket holders on Saturday.
Thank you. It is a ticketed event made available exclusively for season ticket holders. You're right. Okay. Thank you for catching that.
The practices are come as you are. Yeah. All
right. Okay.
Good deal.
Jordan's with us. Hi, Jordan.
Hi. I had to call in when you were talking about Ristolainen, and he has all the physical tools. You're right, Bulldog. But his brain is broken. He's been broken by all the bad hockey. I don't know what it is. When he was 18, he could make a pass. He can't pass anymore. He gets into his own zone, and he doesn't even pick up his head to look for anyone. He gets caved in because all he does is flip the puck into the neutral zone. The other D gets it. They recollect. They come into the zone, and they get more shots. If you can't make a pass out of your zone and you can't break out of the zone, you're never going to have any shots, and you're going to get just caved in every time you're on the ice. He's broken. Can Kruger fix his brain and make him make a pass? I don't know. I'm not willing to risk it. I'd like him to be gone because I don't think he can learn to make passes anymore. He's been broken.
All right, Jordan. Thank you.
I think you certainly see that. I mean, you start paying attention to the numbers on him and then watch how often when he has the puck, what happens to it. And like that, you know, that's the eye test, right? But that's like the marriage of the two. And gradually you know, if you start really focusing on that, yeah, you're going to run into a problem.
Part of the disconnect on Ristolainen is the point that gets made a lot again today, thinking about this kid Johnson they just drafted. You made it. You're like, this guy is the new defenseman, how he moves, and we're talking about positionless hockey and this kind of thing. And like, I think the average fan will see Ristolainen play defense and not think anything of it. I mean, he's big, he's long, and physical, right? Like, so, but that stuff, what does it come down to? Where is the puck when he's out there? What is happening in the game when he's out there? In a day and age when defensemen need to be able, think of Dahlin, the prime example, maybe in the league, you know, or one of them. I mean, for him to be what he was at 18 is all I mean. I just marvel at that. But what is happening in the game? And, you know, how often do we hear from fans that'll tell you, like the guy yesterday who said he's going to be one of the best defensemen to ever play. I've been watching the Sabres since I was a little kid. When you were a little kid, defensemen did not, what, cross the red line? I mean, right. Defensemen only played defense,
right.
Except for Bobby Orr.
They definitely didn't go down to the dots in the offensive zone. Like, that was it. It was aggressive to pinch at the blue line.
Right. So what's the framework, right? What does a defenseman look like? What do we want from him? Yeah. In that kind of framework, I mean, I'd still care really only about the results, but, you know, he's not going to frustrate you necessarily or scare you or any of those things, you know? Who are the guys that get picked on by those same fans? Guys that don't look like that have trouble. Franson got this for not skating, or Sequeira for not being bigger, or different guys who, you know, individually had more success. So, you know, that's, I think, the picture. The picture is the whole game and what happens to the team when each guy plays by the sort of the new standards, if you will. John is next. Hello, John.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
You know, I'm a high school math teacher, and I've been using analytics more and more in my job. So this conversation has been really interesting to hear. But I wanted to build on a point Bulldog brought up in relation to the Darcy Greer and Derek Rowe point.
Okay.
In regards to
the guy you might feel like, okay, I'd like to be better there, but can I get better if I trade him and I'm sort of stuck?
Yeah. But do you think you could maybe find someone for cheaper that's going to get you the same results? And then be able to invest that money somewhere else.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe. That'd be great. That'd be ideal. Everyone would want to do that, wouldn't
you? That's what you want. I think in this case that should be almost a given.
And I think the failure to do so on the part of like the GMs that are around here is really the thing that, you know, I think might be hurting the team the most.
Yeah. Where do you teach math?
In Buffalo.
How do you like it? Has it been like a long career for you?
This is going on. I'm finishing up year 14 right now. So
that's awesome. Pretty good.
All right.
That's like us. What are we? Yep. 15, 16?
Yeah, yeah. My boys are both products of the city schools so far, and all is well.
All right. We're glad to hear.
All right.
It's been a joy watching your son, you know, traverse here through his career. So
thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. It's a big week for him, too.
What's your preference when it comes to vanilla ice cream? Vanilla bean or French vanilla, John?
I think I have to go with French Vanilla.
That's right. You tell him. Break it down.
The analytics on that are bad.
Do the analytics on it for me if you want. Here's my analytics on it. One's awesome. The other one tastes like it has sand in it. I'm done. Thank you. All right.
One more? John, you got time for one more?
I got it. Go ahead.
What do you think of the idea of a lemonade stand, right, like kids have, only I have it as an adult, and maybe it's even like adult lemonade? Could I set up a table at the end of my driveway with either lemonade or spiked lemonade? Probably. Let's just keep it at lemonade, right? I'm out there at the end of my driveway. I got a sign, lemonade for $1 or whatever. Could that work? Would you stop?
The adult lemonade would be intriguing.
Yes.
You know, if you get in trouble, though, you can definitely get into that the lemonade company that hires free lawyers for you. So.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't mess with, thank you, John.
There's laws about alcohol sales.
Right. Let's not mess with that. Let's leave that out.
Yeah. It's like the Department of Tobacco and Firearms. I think you don't want to hear from them.
Why don't I just have the sign say lemonade, but I'll put quotes around it?
Well,
and then
eventually
what are you going to say to me?
I want to know what that means.
You think?
I think you're asking for trouble.
What do you think about that? Like, is that a good way to spend a day? I just put a table out at the end of the driveway. Kids... Like, my kids are going away next weekend.
You've got that park, you know, the parkway there where people are traversing on foot and bicycle and perhaps rollerblade, I might assume.
Oh, yeah.
So you might meet some people.
Oh, I think definitely.
Like, and that.
Will they stop?
I mean, yes, absolutely they'll stop. Even if it's you. Because they'll assume kids are, they'll assume that kids are usually there.
I could say, like, yeah, my kids went inside for a minute.
Yeah, right. That's it. Exactly.
Just make a little extra money.
Right.
Yeah, I was thinking about that.
Yeah.
I didn't bring this up to you earlier. I was brought up to John there.
We did this on the corner. We were on a busy corner. It's a busy corner no matter what, but during the corporate challenge, it's especially a high traffic area. So when the kids were little, they sat on the corner with bottles of water and sold them, and people stopped. It was fun. You meet a lot of people.
What do you do? Like, you buy them for $1 and sell them for $2?
Well, whatever. How much is a case of water? I bought a case of water yesterday for $3.50 for 24 bottles of water.
$3.50 for the whole case?
Yes. It was on sale at the drugstore. I saw it. I'm like, I got a road trip this weekend. I'm like, I'm going to need some water. Boom. Done.
Those are $1 each. You could sell them for $1 each.
Easy, right. That's 24 bucks.
That's the hockey jerseys.
It's a $20 profit.
What a markup.
Yep. I mean, you're not selling it for less than that. I mean, you're at least selling
no,
it for
it's a buck.
Buck. Yeah, it's
right.
A buck.
But if you're only paying whatever that is, 12 cents a bottle or whatever that is.
No, you're doing great. Yeah, they loved it.
I need that. That's all. I don't need to complicate it with the spike
booze question. Yeah, no.
I don't need the quotes.
You'll do great.
I don't need the
quotes. And lemonade is a little more. Lemonade's not water.
No.
You know, so you're going to have to deal with that.
Good point.
It's mostly water.
It's, yes. 803-0550. Thanks for the call, John. We'll be right back. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want to thank my dad. Obviously, you know, my dad is not here with me, but... And I want to thank my amazing mom. She's my hero. Always when you're a little kid, you don't see the future, right? And you have a good parent. Your parent sees the future for you. And she always saw the future in us. She always believed in us. She was always there for us. She's the foundation of this family. You're my true hero. You're my true hero.
Giannis Antetokounmpo, winner of the NBA MVP award last night. Been a pretty good year, I think, for award show speeches. Robin Leonard, Carey Price last week. Giannis last night. Some really nice moments at these shows.
Yeah, the draft, Zion with his mom.
Yes.
Other players with their families. Yeah, for sure.
Yes.
Yeah, all good.
The Bucks coach won the coach of the year, too. Mike Budenholzer.
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 All right.
Joe says Budenholzer.
And their GM was executive of the year, too.
What a place. What an organization.
I saw that he got because there is some Canadian media tweeted at that, or quote tweeted that with like, okay, Masai fired the coach, and maybe, was he the Raptor coach last year wasn't the coach of the year, was he? They were really good.
He might have been.
He okay. won coach of the year and then was fired.
Okay,
yep.
So he got fired. They traded away their leading scorer. They took this flyer on Kawhi Leonard with only 1 year and the injury history, and then made a big trade during the season and they won the championship. I don't know. This Buck guy must have done a hell of a job to beat that score, because that's a pretty good score.
That's exactly right. They won a couple more games.
Right.
And they, as an organization, made the decision to sit Kawhi Leonard for a quarter of their games.
Right.
Like, that was a bold strategy, too.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, they got the ring.
Yeah.
That'll have to be good enough.
And I guess he's not going anywhere.
He's
there was
staying.
Some noise about him going to Washington, or Washington, like, loading up to try to lure him away, and he said, like, that's not happening. So,
Bulldog is here tomorrow and then off forever. Long vacation.
I got a long vacation.
Fantasy Friday coming up.
You got a Fantasy Friday for 2 weeks if you want.
Every day next week will be Fantasy Friday. I just prepared 17 questions for Joe today about Austin Hooper to ask on Friday's show.
Don't rush into that. Don't burn that while I'm here.
I won't.
Just save it. Yeah.
I am up for a game, though.
Yeah.
It's been just all kinds of wrist aligning and, saber angst here.
Yeah.
We'll have some more of that next hour, but maybe I can get you a game here.
Yeah, good. I'd like
to mix it up.
Yeah. I do want to. I'm going away to. We were all the four of us, my family and a family that I'm still good friends with from my couple of years in Connecticut, decided in the fall when we were together to meet at this Wilco Festival they have every other year in North Adams, Massachusetts at a museum. And so we decided this year we're doing it. They do it every other year, and we're finally going to bite the bullet. It's all four of us. We'll come east. You guys come a little west, and like, let's do it. And as it turns out, Owen qualified for this big, incredible, the best hockey opportunity he's had yet, which is a USA Hockey national camp, which is happening here in Amherst. So he can't go. So I sold he and his mother's tickets, and Leo and I are still going to Wilco with our friends. But I'm going to catch some hockey on, tomorrow night, and then Thursday I took the day off to catch one of the games, because otherwise I would see none of this. And I just couldn't live with that. So that's where I'm padding the vacation a little bit, and then I'm off for the fourth.
Hockey nuts might like to go see the development camp and that, and try to figure out how well they compare with each other.
If somebody that's hearing us right now, I mean, I've got a schedule, not just Owen's schedule. Like, I can let you have it, but it's basically the Northtown Center is just going to be starting tonight. It's just the best 17-year-old hockey players in America are here. There's about 200 of them. 20 of them are goalies. And the games start Wednesday night, and then it's just straight through till Monday. So, and it's free. There's no charge at all to get in for that. And, yeah, I mean, you're going to see guys that are going to play for Team USA at some point in some kind of tournaments. You know, I don't know how many of them, but whatever.
Yeah, most.
Pretty
I mean, not most of the kids here, but most of Team USA will be these kids.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
All right, Mike Schopen, the Bulldog. You can reach us at 803-0550. This is WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.